your the sheep of your pasture. We are your idea, the expression of your love and your plan. As we set our eyes on you this morning, you who called us from darkness and brought us into light,
Thank you.
shine your light on
Thank
this new year, Lord.
you.
Let all veils be removed. Let your honor, let your glory be established in our hearts. We ask for this, O sweet Spirit, that you give to me utterance in this really difficult sermon, which I do not fully comprehend, but I do know that a sprinkle of your grace and your glory is all we need. Give utterance that which pleases you may be established. That's the glory of the Lion of Judah, of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless my brothers and my sisters, Lord. Tabernacle with us, Lord. Your word is what we need. Give to us your word, O Lord. Let it settle. Let it not disappear from our hearts as we hear it. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things from your word. Let bondages be broken this morning. Let there be a discovery of Jesus, the majesty of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Happy New Year, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you again, Sister Wura, because indeed the Lord is amidst us. We're going to go cover a lot of ground this morning. Please just get a sheet of paper, write down passages. I may not be able to pause to read most of the passages. But this morning, as we enter the new year, what is upon my mind is to share on a theme called the sure word of prophecy. The sure word of prophecy. And that is taken from the statement of the man who walked with the Lord, Peter, in the book 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, in which he said, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy, which you will do very well to take heed to. The way you will take heed to the light that shines in darkness until the day dawns, and the day star arises in your heart." Say, we have a surer word of prophecy. This word of prophecy is about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our Master, our Savior, our friend, Jesus Christ. I was saying to Biola yesterday that it's a really difficult sermon to teach because we're going to browse through a lot of the histories of the Old Testament quickly. And what I'm praying for is that the Holy Spirit Himself will shed some light into our hearts. I feel a need again that we become grounded in our Master Jesus Christ, that we just take a little journey through his life, through the deeds of the Lord and what got us to be where we are as Christians. It's become very cliché that we're Christians. But before that, a lot of things by the predeterminate counsel of God and his glory had happened in the history of mankind. And ever since creation began up until 2021, the whole world had been waiting for a Messiah. And I'm praying that this Messiah will not become ordinary to our ears or in our homes in Jesus' name. That he will not be like the Buddha that the Buddhists keep in their homes and worship. And what I'd like to do, please, if you bear with me, may the Lord, I'll try to make it very brief because it's not easy to follow. I'm praying strictly that the Lord will grant understanding as we read together or as we explore several scriptures. I'm not going to pause. I'm going to read them out. And maybe at the end we do some reading, but please write them down. And this is the story of Christianity, essentially. The Bible tells us that we go right to the beginning, not in the Garden of Eden. I think we should start off from the father of faith, for we are the seed of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, the Bible told us that the Lord called Abraham. And he said he should come out of his father's house, from his relatives, from his land. And he would take him and give to him an inheritance to a land that he will show him. But it was Stephen in Acts chapter 7 that gave us some of the details of the calling of Abraham that wasn't evident in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. In the book of Acts chapter 4, Stephen expanded this divine word of prophecy from the Lord to Abraham. And he made it very human and very relatable to you and I as immigrants. He said Abraham was living in Mesopotamia in a city called the Ur of the Chaldeans, and that his family, he and his father Terah, were idol worshippers. And he heard the voice of the Lord in his idol worship in the Ur of the Chaldeans, and that he moved from where he was. And he moved to Haran. Then so that we can relate to the realness of this prophecy, he said he waited until his father died. And then he moved from Haran into the land of Canaan. Like you and I, often we do. But this Abraham was an idol worshiper. But the Bible went on to explain to us. He said, but God gave him no inheritance, even after he had moved to Canaan, not even enough to set his foot on. Because even when Abraham was without a child, God promised him that that land would be a possession to his descendants and to him. That prophecy in Genesis wasn't clear until once again, the New Testament helped us to shed some light on it in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews 11, we understand that Abraham lived in the land like a stranger would live in the land, in tents, moving from tent to tent. It went on further that although he had the land as a promise, he looked for a better land, one that was not made with human hands, by faith. Many of us are sitting, and I think Peter said it well in the epistle. He said, we're saying, Lord, ever since these words have been preached, everything had continued as it was. But 1,000 years is like a day before the Lord. Many of the precious promises that we see in scripture, some of us sitting are already weary because they don't appear to be materializing, but we are the seed and the children of Abraham. Even when he stepped from the land of the idols into the promised land, he did not take possession of it, but he moved, living in tents, waiting for the direction of God. Peter went on to say to us in that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, why we have to pay attention to these things. He said, for the words of prophecy did not come by the will of man, that holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So there was a plan that God was putting together, and that plan was for you and for me. Hebrews, once again, clarified it. Said the Lord was determined that without us, Abraham was not to be perfected. Please just follow me. I will try and just interpret this. I read it in my own words, and I'm praying the Holy Spirit will interpret it. And we're the seed of Abraham. We're a wonderful people. We're joined to the household of God. So Abraham went into this land and he was walking around. And in Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, Abraham got very tired, as some of us might be tired. And he said to the Lord, Lord, what will you give me? See, I do not have a son. And you made all these promises to me. I am childless. Will it be Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my house, that's going to inherit all of these wonderful things? Verse 4 of that same chapter, the Lord responded to Abraham. He said, look up, look at all the stars. Can you number them? That is how many your descendants will be. Brethren, you and I know that Abraham had 2 sons. So literally, this prophecy did not come to pass. Yet, it came to pass. But in verse 6, the Bible said something that the Holy Spirit adjusts each one of us this morning. It says, and Abraham believed in the Lord. And believing in the Lord, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, in his Father's house, there are many mansions. If it had not been so, he would not have told us. He's coming back to take us. The way we receive the promises of Christ was the way that Abraham received the promise from the Father. But he believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Believe the prophets this morning, and it will be well with you in Jesus' name. The story continued. Same chapter 15 of Genesis, from verse 12 to 13. The Lord began to show Abraham some of the hidden things. When he was called in Mesopotamia, the detail was not received to Abraham then he was called. But after he had roamed about in obedience to the Lord opened the window to let him begin to see his plan for time and eternity. He said, behold your descendants, verse 13 to 16, they are going to be slaves for 400 years, and I will bring them back, and in the fourth generation, I will establish them in the land. Here was a man that was told, come on out, here's a visa, you're going to inherit some land. And then he started hearing stories in chapter 15, verse 13 to 16. The Lord keeps his wise counsel in his heart and reveals it to us gradually. The word of prophecy is that for 400 years, your descendants are going to be strangers in a land. But in your fourth generation, I will bring them out and establish them in this land of Canaan. Not because Abraham had sinned. Not because the brothers of Joseph sold him into slavery. But in the predeterminate counsel of God, what is happening in your life is happening today because he's going to bring you out into the land of promise by all of those things that you're experiencing. So Abraham had Isaac, first generation. Isaac had Jacob, generation number 2. And Jacob was called Israel, and he had 12 sons. Their names were Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, Asher, Benjamin, Naphtali, and Dan. The third generation. And you're familiar with the story. In the third generation, the children of Israel were moved into Egypt. You know the circumstances of Joseph. They were invited as guests, and they dwelled in Goshen, and they prospered in Goshen until the third generation died. And the fourth generation was the generation of captivity when another king arose in Egypt who did not know Joseph. And according to the word of prophecy, they became slaves for 400 and so odd years. Fourth generation was the generation of bondage and slavery that the words of the Lord to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 might be fulfilled. And they were in Egypt for a long time. We know the story. I'm going to run through it. Until the day when the Lord raised Moses. Now, let us note this. If you read the Bible, you notice that Moses was not from the tribe of Judah. The Messiah of the world was not to come from the tribe of Judah. He was not the Messiah. But the Lord raised Moses to bring out his children from captivity. Right. Now, let's look at Judah, Levi, and Simon. When Israel was dying, he blessed each one of his sons. And one of the blessings, it's very interesting that Moses was from the tribe of Levi. And here was the blessing that he gave. I don't know whether this was a blessing or a curse. To both Levi and Simeon. He said, Levi and Simeon, you are brothers. You are instruments of cruelty. And there's cruelty in your dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger, they slew a man. And in their self-will, they hamstrung an ox. What is the story of Moses? Did Moses not slay the Egyptian in a bid to rescue? This promise, this prophecy in the physical was premised on the experience that Jacob had with Levi and Simeon. Because these two brothers had went and they had crucified Shechem and the men of Hittite because they defiled their sister Dinah in the physical. But in the spiritual, the Lord knew there will be a man who will use mightily from the tribe of Levi, who will be filled with anger, who will attempt salvation by his own hands. This man also was not going to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, because at the water of Meribah, he was going to be provoked by the children of God, and he will strike the rock. I will speak not in the honor of God unto God's people. And the Lord will say, because you refused to honor me, you will not lead my people into the land of promise. And this Moses went and died on top of Mount Nebo, and he was buried. Moses was not the Messiah. The Messiah was not to come from the tribe of Levi. Moses was the meekest of all men, a man really used of God. But the lion of the tribe of Judah is more powerful. It's pure, it's holy, and there's none like him. And in place of Moses, the Lord raised up the man Joshua. Joshua was called Joshua, the son of Nun. He was from the tribe of Ephraim. And this Joshua did a lot of wonderful things. If you went to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 8, please write it down. Joshua, it was that settled 2.5 tribes of the tribe of Judah on the east side of the Jordan. And the remaining 9.5, he went to the west side of the Jordan and he settled them. He was the man that the Lord said, be of good courage. Behold, as I was with Moses, I will be with you also. He was a man full of courage. And we're going to study more about Joshua later. Joshua was careful to walk with his God, but he wasn't the Messiah. He fulfilled the promise of God to the household of Caleb, the second spy that spoke in faith regarding the fortunes of the children of Israel. He was careful about every word of prophecy because the Lord had told him, pay attention to everything that Moses told you and it will be well with you. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It was to Joshua, but you shall meditate upon it day and night and be careful to do everything that is written in it. And that's the only way that you are going to make your way prosperous and you will have good success. He did that. At the end of his life, he was so good. He said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But Joshua died. He indeed settled the children of Israel in the land promised to them. But Joshua was not the Messiah. Actually, the bad name of Joshua was Hosea. It was Moses, the man of God, that called him Joshua. And you find this in Numbers chapter 13, verse 8. And Joshua means salvation, because it was a type and a figure of the lion of the tribe of Judah that was to come and lead us across the Jordan into the promised land that God has given to us. But the salvation of mankind was not to come from Ephraim. Let's see the prophecy that this holy man, Israel, called Jacob, Let's see the prophecy that he gave regarding Judah. Judah was his fourth son, not the firstborn. His fourth son. Regarding Judah, he said, Judah, you are him whom your brothers will praise. And your father's children will bow before you. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. It's not by chance that the Lord Jesus Christ came from the lineage of Judah. It was a word of prophecy. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. We're going to end soon. We hold in our homes and in our hands the passport to eternal life. My brethren, let it not gather dust. So Joshua died. And what the Bible tells us after that, as we run through the Old Testament, was that there was no king in Israel, and every man did as he wished. Judges chapter 17, verse 16. At that time, there was no more king. After Joshua, everyone just did what they pleased. But the Lord was compassionate because though we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. The plan of God can never be short-circuited. What he has proposed in himself, no matter what, he will bring to pass. So even in the time when Israel had no king and everybody did as they willed, what did the Bible tell us? The Lord sent to them lots of judges. Judges like Ehud, the left-handed, or southpaw, like they call them. Sorry, if you are left-handed on this call. You are not a southpaw. They had left-handed one. Deborah, the palm tree prophetess. Lots of characters. The Lord sent to them Samson, the prophetic warrior. He that is strong as, you know, his honey thing. You know that prophecy. Samson, the romantic. The Lord sent Gideon, the man of Manasseh. Different kind of judges to rescue at different times, but they were in disobedience. And the land was filled with darkness. Until Eli, the Lord raised a priest from the house of Levi, the tribe of Levi, and his name was Eli. And Eli was a just and righteous man. But listen to this, brethren. Eli's children were evil. And because of that, his lineage was rejected. On the same day, Eli and three of his sons died. Eli fell back on his chair when he heard that the ark of the Lord had been captured by the Philistines. And it was said in Israel that the glory has departed from Israel. But the Lord is full of compassion and grace. After Eli, he raised the man Samuel. Samuel was both a priest and a prophet. Samuel lived in the province of Ephraim because the Levites were given portions of land in the land allotted to different tribes. They had no inheritance of their own. But this Samuel was a Levite, a priest unto the Lord. And Samuel was a man after God's heart. What did Samuel do? The Bible tells us something very unique about Samuel. The Bible says he went from year to year, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. He went from year to year on a circuit around Israel. He went from Gilgal to Bethel to Mizpah, and he judged Israel. He read the word of God to them. He reestablished the covenant. He reminded them of the promises and the prophets. He spoke to them about the things of the Lord. He did not miss a year. He went between all of these provinces every year to do the same thing. Remember Paul saying, for me to repeat the same thing to you, it's not problematic, but for you, it's necessary. So Samuel was a man that was full of the zeal and the word of the Lord. He wanted to establish the will of God in Israel. He did not sit back in Ramah, for Samuel lived in Ramah, but he did not sit in his house. He went, he divided the territory into three distinct places. They had altars in all of these. As he was ministering to the people in Philadelphia, he will fly to the West Coast and minister. He will repeat the same sermon in Florida. He will go up to the tips of Maine and remind them from the first principles, the covenant with their father. Because it's necessary to remind ourselves of the things of the Lord. May the Lord raise for us prophets like Samuel in Jesus' name. But the people asked for a king, and Samuel took it very personally. But the Lord said to Samuel, "They have not rejected you. It is me that they have rejected." And the Lord led Samuel. He said, "Go to the house of Kish and anoint for me, for them, a king." So Samuel went to the house of Kish, and he saw Saul, the man Saul. And Saul was handsome. Saul had the appearance of a king. He was at least a full shoulder taller than everybody around him. And he poured the oil of anointing upon him. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul and he prophesied. So Saul was okay at the beginning. But very soon, brethren, listen to this. Saul became proud in his heart. It became about the kingdom and not about the Lord that sent him. He began to make mistakes. He especially got careless about the details of the will of God. He began to make sacrifices, 1 Samuel chapter 13, that only the priest was supposed to. He became presumptuous. What do we find in the house of God today? People anointed of God with power and the Holy Ghost, they take upon themselves too much. They think it's about the church. They forget that it's about God. It's about the Savior, Jesus Christ. This was what happened to Samuel. Says Shebi is just sacrifice. It's just to make sacrifice. Shebi were just to preach a sermon. Shebi is just to sing a song. Shebi is just to go to church. Let's just do it and get it over with. He forgot the details. He forgot the how it's supposed to be done. And the Lord rejected him. He also failed when the Lord gave him specific instruction. He said, "Go, kill everybody. Do not spare the king Agag. Kill, destroy all of the things there." But Saul felt he knew better. He spared the livestock. And he also spared the king because he had become an oracle of God. And then the prophet said to him, "To obey is better than sacrifice. And to listen is better than the fatness of ram." Brothers and sisters, to obey God is better than church service. Brothers and sisters, to obey God is better than giving your life to be killed on the cross. Brothers and sisters, to obey God to the detail is better than humanity. It is very necessary to first ask, "What will you have me do?" before we do it, and follow to the letter the instruction, no matter how foolish, because I imagine that the man Saul, the king, first king over Israel, would think, "I'm showing compassion by sparing some people. It's a wonderful thing. It makes sense that we should spare the livestock. And who knows, I could actually learn from this Agag king here with all his experience." He refused to obey. So the Lord ripped the kingdom away from the son of Kish and he gave it to a man called David. David was the son of Jesse, and he was from the tribe of Judah. Genesis chapter 49, around verse 10. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a root will grow." Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, repeating it. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root, and the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him." It took several hundred years. But the prophecy found the tribe of Judah. And David was called a man, a friend of God. A man after God's heart. I'd like us to round us this morning by reading a few prophecies. I'd like someone to please open to Isaiah chapter 9. And let's start reading from verse 1 to 7. You have it open. Let's read verse 6 and 7, baby.
Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
2,000 years ago, a child was born in the manger in Bethlehem. His name was Jesus, the Savior of the world. He was from the lineage of David, the son of Jesse. For 2,000, since three BC, which was the approximate date of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, until 2021, his kingdom had not been vanquished. A lot of people have risen to destroy it. But from coast to coast on Sunday today, all are hailing King Jesus. Once again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, which we will be doing ourselves really great good if we took heed to it. The same way that you will pay attention to a light that's still in darkness, that's shining in darkness, until the day dawns and the day star arises in our hearts. God is at work, brethren. This Jesus that we serve and worship is no ordinary man. What is happening to us is a continuation of prophecy. What the Lord had proposed in Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, when he talked about his descendants, he was talking about us. He has established in the Lord Jesus Christ. In many of the stories we ran through this morning, we didn't go into the detail. You see all of the twists and the turns that the history of Christianity, the history of mankind has been through, but through all, the word of prophecy stood still. I don't know the twist and the turn that your life has been through since you became born again. But that word of prophecy, as long as your heart is upon Jesus, and I always commend that we pay attention to the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Every word, he said, not one dot, not one tittle, not one bit of it will fall to the ground. It may not appear so now. As Abraham roamed around the promised land, it did not appear like he was going to inherit anything. The man had no child in his old age, and he was being told that he was going to be the father of many nations. And we're testifying today as the seed of Abraham that it has come to pass. Every promise that Jesus has made to you will come to pass. I don't know what the circumstances are currently, but as the Lord has spoken it, it will come to pass. Finally, maybe can you read from Isaiah 53? Let's read the whole of Isaiah chapter 53. As we close. Yes.
Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Gramanet, I'm going to reinterpret this song in English. Sister Jackie, and as many as don't speak Yoruba, but it was a great revival song. In retrospect now, I know it as a great revival song. In those days, it was just a song we heard. I don't even know where I heard it, but I remember I used to hear it. And I just pray, brethren, that you listen carefully to this. I pray that you will quieten every secondary consideration this morning and contemplate the gift of God to all of us. The greatest gift we have entering this new year is not our degrees. It's not our aspirations and our hope. Our greatest gift transcends what we can feel and touch. The greatest gift is the gift of God to all of mankind, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When evangelists went all around in those days, the Yoruba evangelists, they would go and say, Bala ofe lamua, ti Jesu fe jereshi, Igbala ofe lamua, ewa ba igbala ofe, Igbala ofe lamua, ti Jesu fe jereshi, Igbala ofe lamua, ewa ba igbala ofe. And I wish there's somehow, I don't know if there's any way to adequately interpret that song in English, but it roughly translates as, you know, evangelists going about and, you know, going, we have come with free salvation, the salvation purchased by the blood of Jesus, free, everybody come out for free salvation, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, free salvation, we have come with free salvation, 2021, in every household, my brothers. If your heart is on your business this morning, Jesus is saying to you, he has come with free salvation, free, purchased by the blood of Jesus. My sisters, if your mind is on the welfare of your children, the message of Jesus to you this morning is, I've come with free salvation, predicted in Abraham, planned by the Lord, by the sure words of prophecy, secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come for salvation, free of charge. As we enter 2021, The Lord wants our mind to be on the finished work that he has done in Christ. We had no part in that work. It's been established since before we were born. And Christ is calling us. He said, yea, all ye who hunger, come and eat. You who thirst, come and buy from me food without money. Stop expending your energy on that which cannot fill. I pray that in our homes this year, in your heart, in the midst of all your challenges like Abraham, I pray that the love of God through our Lord Jesus Christ will loom larger than any other thing. This is our hope as Christians. There are no methods. There's nothing else except Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that took away the sin of the whole world. May the Lord be with us and be with our home and keep us. May he establish his truth and magnify his Son by his Holy Ghost in us. May he separate us from the masses and cause his face to shine upon us in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let us pray.
Bulawale, you are muted.
I pray that we will not be tired of Jesus Christ. Hold us firm. Show your glory to us, Lord. There's a secret in Jesus. Last year, you told us, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a secret in Christ. Please reveal it to us, I pray, Lord. No matter, as we have been told this week already, no matter what the year holds, help us to be secure in your Son. I pray that no theology, no wahala, nothing, we take our gaze away from the lover of our soul this year. Help us to act for him, to love him, to react because of him, to cast our sins and our burdens and everything on Jesus. Give us the secret of walking very close to Jesus Christ. Give us the ear that is attentive. Help us to feel his pain. Help us to feel his joy. Give to us the grace to walk closely with the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Deliver us from religion. Amen. As in our own strength. Help us to soar like the wings of the eagle. Amen. Give us courage. Father, yes. Yes, Lord. Give us courage to be Christians.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We thank the Lord for his word this morning. In closing, Sister Paula will be leading us in the closing hymn. Let me quickly bring up this.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine.
May I regret strength to my
strong, 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 strong,